I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
It's good to see you again, Ken.
I was on your Commercial Property Made Easy website the other day and noticed a video on goal setting, which you make available to assist your clients. Would you perhaps like to explain why that's important?
Yeah, look, Ken, I'm glad you saw that on the website. And, you know, I'm always fascinated when I talk to clients that they really don't have a clear set of long-term goals. Yeah, sure, they have a general vision of where they want to be. I mean, I'll ask them, what do you want to have achieved in the next 5-10 years' time? And many of them will say, look, I'm at such and such an age, I want to start to build up some property so that I can phase out full-time employment and spend more time looking after my investments. And that's all well and good, but it's not really as detailed and it's not going to help them achieve their end goals. And sure, I'll help them purchase property and things like that, but they really need to have worked out, and it's not only in the area of investment, it's all spectrums, all sectors of their life, their financial as well as their family and their friends and spiritual and education and so forth, that they need goals in all areas because it's got to be a balanced life that they lead. And I remember once reading that there was a Yale business class in 1953 where 3% of the class set some clear goals as to where they wanted to be going forward. And 20 years on, those 3% had a greater combined net worth than the other 97% put together. Now, look, I don't know if that's a true story or not, but it was certainly well documented. And it really struck home to me the importance of setting goals. And that's why I think, you know, I encourage people to do that. I've set out the clear investment objectives and I want people to identify with them, and that's why I put it together in the app that I have. But you've got to go further than that, and that's the reason why on the Commercial Property Made Easy website, I do have that video of how to set your personal goals to make it easy for people to do that, because that's what's going to form the basis of their underlying success.
So how and when did you become aware that having goals was crucial to your success in life?
Well, I guess for me, it happened unconsciously or without me being aware of it. And it probably goes back to, and some people already know this, but I had polio when I was 5, and it was in my lower part of the body, my left leg. And the solution was then, they thought, to put the leg into a full plaster, you know, from hip to toe, and send me to bed for 6 months. Now, that meant missing my first year of school. And you can imagine a 5-year-old, after about 2 weeks, I was absolutely driving my parents crazy. And they said, look, let's get in some crutches. They found some interim between prep and first grade school that I could go to fill in the time. And look, I got there and I wasn't interested in crutches. I just hopped everywhere. And at the end of the 6 months, they took off the plaster. And I think, from what I understand, the polio had ceased, but the effects of it were pretty evident in that I couldn't put my left heel on the ground, and it meant having orthotics and so forth as far as shoes are concerned. And, you know, full credit to my mother, she took me from specialist to specialist until she finally found someone who thought they could perform some cutting-edge surgery and probably help me walk without having to have the orthotic footwear. However, I couldn't have that operation till I was 10, 11 years old, till I'd finished my initial growth spurt. So the operation had, and they cut into my Achilles tendon and stretched it 5 or 6 centimetres. And again, so it would knit properly, they put me into another full leg plaster, which this time was a walking plaster. And the thing is that when that came off, yes, I could put my heel on the ground and the Achilles tendon had knitted. And as doctors do, or did at that time, after they'd done the examination, they said to me, look, would you just mind waiting out in the waiting room? Just need to have a quick word with your parents. Now, I happened to overhear what was being said, and that was that, look, he said, look, I'll probably walk properly and won't need any orthotic footwear, but as far as playing any competitive sport, just forget about it. Now, even though I'd had that impediment for all those years, I'd had shoes built up, footy boots built up, and I just loved footy, loved athletics, loved cricket. And to hear that, I don't know what happened, but I think at that point, at 11-year-old, I made the decision, I'm going to prove them wrong. And when they gave me the rehab exercises, I just worked on them like crazy. Probably did 2, 3, 4 times as many of the exercises as they, or repetitions as they required, and just to build it up. And I just worked on it and worked on it. And at the same time, you know, continued with the sport and so forth. Now, the end result is that I managed to play for 3 years in the school first 18 AFL footy team, which was unheard of in those days. I also won the all-schools Victorian all-schools high jump with a leap of 193 centimetres. And when I was at uni, I got selected in the All-Australian University football side. Now, I don't say all that to impress you, but rather to impress upon people that if you know exactly where you're going, even in my case where I was told I didn't have the capability to do what they will do, what I ended up doing that they said I couldn't do, and you have the application and the will to get there, it is possible. And that's why I sometimes get so frustrated with my clients and people that come to me for help when I know they've got the talent and they don't use it. I'll give them advice, I'll tell them what they need to do, but it's like they know best. And I hear what you say, but this is the way I want to do it. They don't understand. I mean, I didn't necessarily get the help. I mean, my parents were terrific, but, you know, a lot of it I had to do myself. But I wish I'd had someone that could have guided me along the way and encouraged me more from the technical point of view. But nonetheless, you know, it's like a recipe. You know, if you're making bread and you leave out the yeast, the bread won't rise. I mean, it's a very simple thing, and that's why I've developed this 9-step formula. It needs to be followed step by step sequentially, and if you do that, you have a better than even chance that you're going to come out successfully. But a lot of people just won't take advice, don't have a plan, and therefore wonder why they don't succeed in the end.
How should you begin the process of goal setting? And why do so few people actually have a set of written goals?
Well, I think you've hit it on the head. It is a process, goal setting. It's not that difficult. And when you have a process, as I said, it's like a recipe. You follow it. And if you follow it faithfully, you will in the end succeed. You see, in life, you take a certain action, you do something, and depending on the result, it affects how you feel. And your attitude then will alter the potential enthusiasm for the next action you're going to take. And therefore, if that's a poorer action, you get a poorer result. And therefore, you feel bad about it. And that continues to affect your potential. You get in this cycle, which is called a rut, a downward spiral, if you like. And that's what causes people a lot of discouragement and so forth. Now, I remember in my early teens, I read a book by a fellow called Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, and he said the pull of the future is an awesome force. And what it did for me was to crystallize what I had already been doing intuitively through my life in setting the goals and not being discouraged along the way. Because, you see, the point you break into that cycle is between results and attitude. And you break in with what's called results in advance. Now, this is your set of goals. So that irrespective of the actual result from the action you take, you're looking forward to the goal that you want to reach in each area of your life. And so that doesn't affect your attitude. All it serves to do is say, well, I now have to refine or adjust or modify the action next time because that one didn't work. It didn't head me in the direction I wanted to go. So if you have no direction, you don't know. You take the action, you don't get the result, therefore it affects you and you just keep going, as I said, in the downward spiral. But with the results in advance, you therefore modify your action, you see an improved result, and that encourages you to go and with a better attitude and action the next time, because you can see that you're moving closer to where it is that you want to be. And so I can only impress upon you the importance of having the set of goals so that you have a clear focus and a destination of where you want to be.
Presumably, there's more to goal setting than simply making a list of what you want to achieve.
Well, as you said on the website, there is a video there which explains to you how to go about defining and documenting your goals in each area of your life so that you have a balanced life and it's not skewed in any one direction. Some people get bent out of shape over earning money or, you know, it becomes out of balance and your family suffer and so forth. So you need to have it balanced. Now that shows you how to identify and document the goals. But yes, you do need more than that. And the way I look at it is that you need a vision or a picture of what it'll be like in each area of your life when you get to reach your goal. And when you've done that, and you have the picture and you have the goals mapped out, you therefore need a plan. And in other words, this is why so many people set a New Year's resolution and never get there, because all they've got is the end goal, which may only be 12 months away, but irrespective of that, most of your goals, you can't have all 12-month goals. You have to have them spread over a five-year period. You have one-year goal, three-year goals, five-year goals, sometimes even 10-year goals. And there are some goals that I set back in my teens or early 20s at university, and I'm still haven't achieved them. But that doesn't mean I'm despondent. I know I'm not going to achieve them for probably a few more years. But they were very much long-term goals. But what you then do is you chunk them down so that you, if you've got a five-year goal, you break it into, you know, three-year goals, and then you break that down to one-year goals, and then down into 6 months, 3 months. And then so you work out what it is you've got to do in the coming month, which if you do that, it takes you to the point where you can take the next step for the next month or 6 months, and then when you get to that point, you've reached that level, you can go to the next, to the 12-month, and you do it in step by step. So that's having the plan. But you also, as you gathered with me and my quest from having polio, you need a passion. You have to be consumed by what it is that you're aiming for. Now, that doesn't mean to the exclusion of the rest of the world, but it means that it has to mean something to you. And that's why picturing it is important, because if you can't picture it clearly, you're not going to have the passion to get there. And that passion is important. That's the passion that when someone asks you to do something which you look at, if I do that, as enjoyable as that might be, that's going to distract me or cost me 6, 12 months in reaching the goal that I have decided is what I want to achieve. Now, just because you set your goals doesn't mean that they're fixed in concrete. You can review them every 12 months, and that's what I tend to do and I encourage people to do, because there will be refinements. Sometimes you look at your goals and say, look, I had that as a five-year goal. Given what I've achieved and what's happened, and it may be in the surrounding economy or your work or whatever, you may be able to bring that goal back from 5 to 3 years. Others, you might have set out to look, I can do that in 12 months. It happens to be 2 years before you're going to achieve it. So you make those adjustments. It doesn't mean the goals aren't valid. It just means your assessment of the time involved was perhaps a little inaccurate, either ambitious or too generous. So, as I said, but until you have the goals there, you can't get the passion. And then, again, as you probably gathered through the work that I put in with the rehab after the operation, second time in plaster, you have to have the persistence. You have to keep at it. You can't just do it when you feel like it. You have to be focused with the passion and continue on. And once you've set your goals, you don't just file them away. You keep them. You write them down. If you have a journal, you have them at the back page of your journal so you can review them regularly, so you keep them top of mind. And it means then that you are focused, and you may have to make choices, because there will be distractions, but you can't let other people organize your life for you. As I say to people, you know, or I ask them, what do you do first thing in the morning? Well, I get in the office and I open my emails. Well, I mean, really, that's the biggest distraction you can have, because you get drawn off in all different directions. You respond to the emails. I mean, I don't answer or look at my emails until about 11 o'clock in the morning. Now, it's not going to matter between 9 and 11 whether I look at the email or not. But the problem with the email is that you might get an email that's bad news, so that affects your morning. So the things that you really need to do in that first two-hour period, your mind's elsewhere, and you need to have a clear run at those particular items. And so it's all part of time management, if you like, but goal setting is the foundation and where you need to start.
How would you like to round things off for our time together today?
Well, I suppose it comes down to when we're talking about implementing the process of reaching your goals, the difference between being efficient and being effective. Now, if you're efficient, you're doing the job right. If you're effective, you are doing the right job right. Now, you need to ask yourself, whether it's your work or your family or whatever it is this the most important thing I can or should be doing at this very moment? And if it's not, you're wasting your energy. And most people go through life, as I said, allowing other people or events to organize their life. They're reacting to what's going on around them rather than being proactive and deciding what it is they should be doing. And so just asking that question, what is the number one or the one thing I should be doing right now to progress me towards my goal? And you can't focus on all your goals all at once. I mean, when you're at work, you're at work. When you're at home with the family, you're at home with the family. And you need to do that. I mean, one of the things, for example, at the beginning of each year, what I used to do was to block out my holiday that I'd go away with Jenny. Now, the reason you do that is that if that's blocked out, there are no excuses. You go book the holiday, whether it's you're going overseas or you're just, you know, going up to Noosa or wherever it is you're going. And then what happens is you start to arrange events around that, because you know, come whatever it is, the middle of September or whatever, you're going to be stepping on a plane. So, and the important thing is that you do book the flight, because then you paid it and you've made a commitment. Because otherwise, I can assure you, if you don't do that, yes, you'll talk about going on the holiday, but something will come up and it'll get rearranged, get put off, and then it gets too hot, you get into November, and it's just too late. Look, we'll do it next year. So some of those items, you've just got to schedule, make appointments with yourself to do personal things, but make appointments with yourself to do things that will advance your career. It may be that you feel you need to have some extra training. Okay, find out when the course is on. If you're not the boss, go see your boss, lock it in so that, again, people in the office know you're not going to be available for that 2 or 3 days when the course is on. But if you don't, you won't attend, you won't grow. And so, as I said, efficient versus effective. And, you know, what I'll do, Ken, is I'll put up a link under this episode so that people can access, if they haven't already done so, that short video if they are serious about wanting to put together their own set of detailed goals.
I knew they were important. What you've made clear is that goal setting needs to embrace every area of your life.
Yeah, look, it's no good excelling with your career and investments if that means that your family and social life starts to suffer. So what's important is having a fully balanced approach.
However, I imagine there's more to success than just having a set of goals and simply knowing about commercial property. Would you like to give us a little insight into some of those key intangible attributes?
I probably touched on some of these a few moments ago in what I said, but you need a good work ethic. In other words, as you're diligent in your business life, you need to also be diligent in your commercial property investment side of things. In other words, you can't play at it. Sure, it may not be your full-time activity, but you need to devote a certain amount of time to get on top of it. Now, that might involve doing training and getting to know all about commercial property and how it works, getting to know more about the market and so forth. But it may equally be, if you don't have the time available right now, is putting together your team of consultants so that you can instruct them and they can advise you as to what is the best course of action for you to take. And as I said, there has to be that passion. You have to really want to do it. As I said, that comes down when you have set your goal. So it's not, if you're just starting out, it's only one property you're going to buy. But that doesn't stop you having a long-term vision of where you want to be in 5 or 10 years' time, because that could impact upon the purchase vehicle, for example, because there are tax implications, family planning and estate planning implications. And if you haven't got that clearly spelled out, the advice you're given at the outset may have been a completely different if you'd have told your accountant and a solicitor and tax advisor as to what you ultimately wanted to achieve. And the problem is to undo that later on can be very expensive. So that's probably, you know, a quick overview and answer to your question.
I can see why commitment and a love for commercial property are important, but wouldn't you also need to concentrate your efforts?
Well, again, it's picking up on the concept of visualization of where you want to be and focus in getting there so that you do concentrate your efforts. And so when you're spending your time on the commercial property aspect of your life, that you're there 100%. You're not distracted by family events. I mean, if family events are crowding in around you, sort them out before you decide to devote that segment of your time to the commercial property, because you need the focus, otherwise you're not going to be successful.
What about developing and honing certain skills along the way?
Well, look, self-improvement is terribly important, and that's why I provide all this online training by way of video and other material. And with my mentor group, I say to them, look, I know you may have watched some of the videos and gone through some of the home study course, but you need to keep going through the material, because when you first read it or watch the videos or listen to the audio material, your knowledge base is very limited, and therefore you only absorb a certain amount of it. Then with the experience after 12 months or 2 years, you go back and listen to it again. It's like watching a classic movie once again. Yes, you've seen it, but at the first time through, there's so much going on that you miss certain nuances that you can only pick up on a second and third watch. And I mean, while you mightn't go to the movies to watch it, if it comes up on television, you'll happily watch it again because it was a good movie. And as I said, you actually gain more out of it the second time. Sure, you know the direction you're heading, where it's going to end up, but just fleshing out the bits that you missed in the first place or skipped over, not even being aware that that was the case. And so self-improvement is important. And as I said, yes, there's material on my various websites that you can either get for free or subscribe to, and there's the blogs and the podcasts. But the other thing is to network with a group of either like-minded investors or putting together your consultants and keeping in touch with them. They're important because they will provide not only information and direction, but quite often they can provide you opportunities and leads into deals that you wouldn't have otherwise been able to access. So always be looking to improve yourself.
Are there any further important attributes our listeners should know about?
Well, probably the last couple of things would be perseverance. I mean, commercial property investing is a longer-term process, and sometimes just putting one deal together, you have to persevere. Sometimes a vendor is being unreasonable. You have to, I mean, most people try and resolve a negotiation on the spot, or if not, in the next few days. I mean, I've had negotiations that have gone on for weeks, and it's only through perseverance that sometimes these deals are put together. And the other thing is that it's a matter of building trust over time, building trust with your consultant, building trust with the people that you have to deal with on an ongoing basis. And, you know, even if it's a negotiation and you don't think you're going to see that person again, you have to build up trust and credibility, even if it happens to be through a selling agent that you do that, because you don't know that you're not going to come back and have to deal with them again. And if you have effectively screwed them the first time, I can promise you the next time round, they're going to be waiting for you. And commercial property investment world is not that big, and the word gets around if you build up a bad reputation. And I can tell you it makes life very, very difficult. So probably, yeah, perseverance and building a trust, or seeking all the time to build the trust as you go forward.
Thanks for revealing the various intangibles which lie behind commercial property success. That certainly adds some depth to my understanding, and I'm sure it'll be the same for our listeners.
Yeah, look, it's all too easy to become fixated upon the practical aspects relating to commercial property and ignore the underlying personal attributes, which are equally, sometimes more important for your ultimate success.
That's great. Thanks, Chris. And we may devote a further session to this sometime down the track.